Chazal in Bereishis Rabbah tell us that Golos Mitzrayim, the Egyptian exile, is the paradigm for all future exiles. So the Rebbe considers in the first Sicha for Lekut HaSichas Chelek Aleph, Parsha Shmos, what exactly is it that Golos Mitzrayim can teach us about the contemporary Golos if we zero in on the following narrative. We learn at the beginning of the Parsha, Paro makes the decree. Kol HaBen HaYiloid HaYoyer Tashlichu. Whatever son will be born, throw him to the river. And every daughter you shall keep alive. The Rebbe asks, why is it that Paro needs to specify every daughter you shall keep alive? Paro was only interested, seemingly, in killing the sons. Why mention the girls? Why mention the daughters? So the Rebbe infers from the Pasuk that the word tichayun means you shall make live. Not that they will live, but tichayun, you shall make live. Meaning to say that what Paro wanted with the Jewish girls, and the Medrash in fact learns this way in Shemeser Rabbah, Paro wanted to assimilate the Jewish girls. The Rebbe says that we can also look a little bit more deeply at the story of the Nile, and that Paro wants the Jewish boys to be thrown into the Nile. So of course, Paro meant that literally, but symbolically, what does it mean to be thrown into the Nile? So the Rebbe says the Nile symbolizes the idol. It symbolizes the object of worship of the Egyptians. It symbolizes what they viewed as the source of sustenance, given that the Nile irrigated the entire land of Egypt. So throwing your son into the Nile means throwing your son, completely giving your child over, sacrificing your child for the Egyptian machine of sustenance. And similarly, water also symbolizes tainug. It symbolizes pleasure. In Hasidic psychology, the pleasure principle is viewed as the organizing principle of all human activity. All humans and all animals, for that matter, do that which brings them pleasure, and they refrain from that which brings them pain. But people have different pleasure principles, and what it is which gives you pleasure will generally be different from that which gives somebody else pleasure, and very often it's mediated by the cultural context that you're in, and can depend on the way in which you were educated. So throwing children into the Nile River early on, throwing them with the Egyptian water source early on, means inculcating them within Egyptian pleasure principles and ripping them away from whatever Jewish pleasure principles would have been. So now the question is asked the Rebbe, how does this apply in the contemporary context? So the Rebbe is saying the Sicha in the years 1952 and 1954, and particularly in those years, the Rebbe was fighting very, very much against Americanization and assimilation. The Jewish people in America at that time are coming out of war-torn Europe, or perhaps they had escaped a little bit earlier during the pogroms and social unrest in Russia. But generally speaking, in the 50s, the Jewish people were looking to assimilate. And thank God, traditional Judaism has made significant leaps and bounds in the ensuing 70 years between when the Rebbe said the Sicha and when the Shir is being recorded. But that said, there still is a lot of Americanization and American infiltration into Jewish communities in such a way which could threaten the continuity of the Jewish community. And one particular does the Rebbe see as the concern. The Rebbe says that in Western society, particularly in America, there's a focus on tachlis. There's a focus on always considering what's going to be tomorrow. How am I going to make money? How am I going to have a career? How am I going to be able to put money in my retirement fund? And that sort of constant seeking of what's going to be, what's the objective, instead of living in the moment, instead of being present, instead of focusing on what your mission is in life, instead of focusing on your authentic self, that constant treadmill, that hamster wheel, which is very pervasive in capitalist societies and can also manifest in different ways in communistic societies, but nonetheless, that often causes Jewish people and causes people in general to completely discard their culture, to completely discard what they inherently value, and throw themselves into the machine of trying to make money. Whether you throw everything away for your child to be a doctor, you water down your Judaism for your child to be a lawyer, to be a chemist, an academic, The Rebbe says, a shoe polisher, but people don't want to send their children to yeshiva. They don't want to give their children a robust Jewish education because they're concerned that by giving their children a robust Jewish education, there's no tangible outcome, there's no tangible objective that they can get from them. So that, the Rebbe tells us, is the contemporary Nile. And ironically, when the Rebbe is talking, in this particular context, there is no paramelech Mitzrayim. There is no government which is actively, negatively forcing you to leave your Judaism behind. It's more of a zeitgeist, it's more of a culture which says that the way to get ahead is by assimilating, the way to get ahead is by giving up your unique identity or compromising on your values. So if that's the Nile, what's the antidote to the Nile River? The antidote to the Nile River, the Rebbe says, as we learn in the Gemara in Maseches Sota, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios, in the merit of the righteous women, Yatzo Avasein Mitzrayim, that our forefathers leaved Egypt. And there, the Gemara in Sota tells us that although it's the case that power came down with many difficult decrees and many strict mandates, the Jewish women ignored all of those decrees and mandates, and they said, we're going to maintain a stable Jewish family unit, we're going to have children, come what may. And that act of radical faith, deciding to maintain a Jewish family, and deciding to have and attempt to raise Jewish children, even in extremely trying circumstances, ultimately allowed the Jewish people to survive and leave Egypt. So similarly, the Rebbe is telling us, that even if it seems that by not compromising on our values, that by not assimilating, by not giving in, by not watering down and making our Judaism more lukewarm, we don't realize, we don't understand how it is that we're going to be able to be survive. The Rebbe tells us, have faith, and you'll see that you will survive, you'll thrive, and you'll flourish. And 70 years after this sichas was said, it's very interesting to look at the communities that the Rebbe built and to look at the many communities which follow this approach of living a robust Judaism and contrasting that to many other communities who took a more assimilatory approach. It's true that many of the communities who took a more assimilatory approach might have gained financially in the short term. But in the long term, if you look at the more traditionalist communities, first of all, at least in America, those communities are doing quite well financially. They're quite robust financially. And perhaps more importantly, they are still thriving, surviving, and growing, while communities who did not follow this path are, in general, in a state of crisis, a state of shrinkage, and in some cases aren't even doing that well financially. So as the 21st century brings us new challenges, may we be inspired by the Rebbe's call to faith, and may we realize, may we become cognizant of the various Nile rivers which society tells us to throw our children into, and that we have the faith to resist and flourish, and ultimately leave Egypt.